This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, bringing you the biggest stories from across Texas. The Headline gives you the news you need to be an informed citizen.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday, and thank you for joining us on The Headline. I'm Brandon Waltons, managing editor of Texas Scorecard. New glasses, same classic show we all know and love here. We're going to talk about some of the big stuff happening in Texas this week. And actually, this week specifically, we're going to look at some of those deadlines we're hitting. I've got Jeremy Kitchen, our Capitol correspondent here at Texas Scorecard. And as we look at what's going on in the legislature, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of the stuff that is moving and more importantly, what isn't moving. What is today, April 9th? Mm-hmm. That's an important deadline.
Right, that's right. So April 9th represents, even though it's not like a, it's not put anywhere, it's not publicly, right, put anywhere, it represents being 30 days away from a public deadline, which is right around May 10th, which is essentially the House Calendars Committee, by rule, can now sit on a bill that gets sent to it from a committee. Let's say it gets passed out of whatever committee, gets sent to the House Calendars Committee. They can sit on it for 30 days and not do anything about it, not set it on a calendar. Mm-hmm. And that gets us to the point where, you know, come May 10th, when the actual deadline is, that by them sitting on it, it de facto kills the bill.
And so to sort of boil that all down into to something we can all understand, essentially, sure. This is a process by which this House Calendars Committee, they're the people who decide whether or not a bill ultimately gets voted on by the members. There's a mechanism for members who feel strongly to go around that process. But after today, if a bill is not being passed out of committee, that option is gone.
That's right. I mean, the people that have the power, right, would be the Calendars Committee to do it. Correct.
Well, so we talked about priorities that are moving, and there's different people's priorities, right? You've got the Republican Party of Texas's priorities. The Democrat Party obviously has things they'd like to see pass as well. We've also talked about priorities of Governor Greg Abbott. One that is actually a priority for both the governor and the Republican Party of Texas is election integrity. And we've seen a little bit of movement on that. Explain where that is in the process now.
Sure. So there's several bills that the Republican Party of Texas Legislative Priorities Committee says qualifies under their election integrity priority, right? But the two most notable ones are the kind of the omnibus bills that they've been dubbed, which is Senate Bill 7 and House Bill 6. Mm-hmm. Senate Bill 7 by Senator Brian Hughes has already passed the Senate April 1st by party line vote 18-13. Right? House Bill 6 by Representative Briscoe Kane, who's the chairman of the Elections Committee there in the House, they just passed his omnibus bill yesterday, party line vote in committee, 5 Republicans, 4 Democrats, and that is now passed out of committee to be sent to the House Calendars Committee.
The House Calendars Committee, and like we mentioned, election integrity, and specifically this House Bill 6, is a priority of the Republican Party and the governor, so you've got some convergence there. You would expect to see some movement pretty quickly in the House on this legislation, wouldn't you?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think there was an interview earlier this week where we saw that Speaker Phelan, right, had talked about the election integrity bill and House Bill 6, had talked about that it will be on the floor, mm-hmm. right? Had talked about what he thinks, you know, there's like some of the corporations that opine, they're wrong on it, right? There isn't voter suppression in it. And so I think it will happen. The question is, when does it come up?
We've seen some opposition, however, with this election integrity legislation, not only from a couple Republicans. You had an article earlier this week about State Representative Kyle Cassell saying he had some potential concerns with the bill. But much larger point, you've seen big corporations, right, come in and start to threaten Texas, much like they've done in Georgia, where they've passed some similar bills relating to election integrity. And they're coming in, folks like American Airlines and the rest of them, making their voices and saying, you better not pass this legislation. Question for you. Do you think that affects the lawmakers when they look as to whether or not they're going to continue to support this or are the corporations going too far right now?
I think a mixture of both, mm-hmm. right? I think it's certainly, so as of right now on the House Bill 6 side, speaking to the House version of the bill, there's 20 Republicans that aren't signed on as authors, right? And that could be, to be fair, it could be for a litany of reasons, maybe they haven't seen the co-author sheet or what have you, but there are 20 that haven't signed on. I think part of that might be, right, that there is some of that political pressure, if you will, or what they interpret as pressure from those corporations, maybe that matters to them, maybe it matters to their donors, right? You know, a would-be after session, do they want to be supportive of the bill? I think you can read somewhat between the lines. The question is if it gets to the floor, do these people, just because they're not authors, do they vote for it or not vote for it? And that's a yet to be seen.
We'll be taking a look at that and really looking at those co-author sheets and seeing which Republicans are supporting it and who isn't. Sure. In the days ahead. Another priority of the Texas GOP that moved through the Texas House as well as the Texas Senate recently is protecting churches from being closed down during pandemics, much like we've seen happen. It's happened in a lot of other states, but even in the early days of the coronavirus emergency, you had churches that felt that they needed to shut down because of local orders. The Texas House approving yesterday, and they'll finally approve this morning, today, the Freedom to Worship Act by Scott Sanford. And this is a bill that is pretty similar, substantially similar, to legislation that has already passed out of the Texas Senate.
That's right. Senate Bill 26 by Senator Angela Paxton had passed the Senate back in late March. I think the 25th of March. It was 28-2, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. The House's version of that, as you alluded to, will ultimately pass today, but passed yesterday on second reading, 117 yes votes and 29 no votes. And so, to your point, the question is okay, if it passes both chambers, it's two different it's two different bills. Does the House act on the Senate bill or does the Senate act on the House bill? And that's yet to be seen.
Exactly. Essentially, this bill could pass both of the chambers, right. But in those last few weeks of the session, anything can happen. The legislation could ultimately not make it to the governor's desk, sure, just because they weren't able to agree on the specifics of the law. It was something you saw, actually, I'll note this, you saw some Democrats actually opposing in the Texas House when they debated it yesterday. Mm-hmm. Essentially saying that churches wanted to define churches and nail some of that down. But ultimately that bill passed and is expected to finally pass and be sent over to the Senate later today. Another Governor Abbott priority, not a Republican Party of Texas priority now, but a Governor Abbott priority is actually his number one priority, which is expanding rural broadband. Now, when he announced that as his top emergency priority back in February 1st, I think it was, 1st of February, during his State of the State address, a lot of conservatives were surprised, specifically given the events of the last year with shutdowns and the like, that would be his number one priority. But essentially it was. And now we've seen legislation pass the Senate as well as this week now pass the House.
That's right. House Bill 5 officially passed the House. This going on. Senate Bill 5 had passed last week or the week before. They're very, very similar. They have nuanced differences in that, like where the office resides and mm-hmm. what, you know, state employees and who does that. But generally, it would set up the quote unquote infrastructure from the state level to allow or enable, you know, broadband providers, companies, right, to expand their broadband services to places that currently aren't serviced by it.
And so another Governor Abbott priority moving through.
The notable thing, not to interrupt you there too, is in the House version, it passed unanimously 150-0.
The
first time the Speaker has voted the session.
That is important. We've got 150 members of the House. Mm-hmm. And normally when you see these votes, if you see the votes, how they go down, normally not everybody's there. And in fact, I'll let you in on a secret. I don't think everybody was actually in the chamber when they voted on this yesterday. Occasionally members will vote for each other. That's a conversation for a different day. But this was really, really notable. You're right. There was 150-0. Normally the speaker will count himself as present, not voting. Mm-hmm. Since they're overseeing the process. They generally don't. It's kind of tradition. They can vote, but they generally don't on issues, except for the ones that they want to really make a statement and say that this is a priority. So we already knew this was a top priority for Governor Abbott. Now it's pretty clear that this was a priority as well for Dade Field.
I think the day before he had a press conference, right, where he talked about, and we probably won't get into the specifics, but talked about his kind of healthcare priorities.
Yeah.
And this was one of those bills on there. In order for the telehealth, telemedicine stuff that he wants to happen, he makes the argument that they need this expansion of broadband.
Which might be, some might find a little spurious.
Sure.
I don't know. another priority is moving through as well. ERCOT reform, again, not one of those Republican Party of Texas priorities, not one of the ones voted on by grassroots delegates to the Republican Party of Texas's convention in 2020, but one that was added in the wake of the February storms. We've seen some movement on that, both in the Senate and the House in recent weeks, as well as one to end it on stuff that is moving. You've seen the Senate in recent weeks pass out the heartbeat bill,
right.
Pro-life bill, pro-life legislation, as well as a slew of other pro-life legislation out of the Senate. And now that's was heard in the House as well this week.
That's right. Duplicate, basically the same bills that had passed in that kind of package of seven or eight bills in the Senate, I guess last week or the week before, were heard. Their versions in the House were heard in the House State Affairs Committee this week. And that includes the heartbeat bill, prohibition of abortion, like a trigger bill in the event Roe v. Wade is ever overturned, the Preborn Non-Discrimination Act, right? Things like that. So the same bills, just the House versions were heard.
Okay. So we've talked about some of the stuff that is moving. Now I want to pivot over to some of the stuff that's not moving.
Sure.
And you had an article earlier this week about a very specific bill that doesn't seem to be getting any traction in the Texas House, at least. And that is one that is a priority of the Republican Party of Texas, but a priority of conservative Texans across the state, which is to end the practice of this gender modification, gender disfigurement surgery in minors.
Correct. So this is not fully, but it's certainly related to the kind of the case surrounding a Mr. Jeff Younger. And the bills you're alluding to, there's
Jeff Younger, explain who that is.
Sure. So Jeff Younger's a gentleman who his son, James Younger, he's recently divorced. His ex-wife began kind of putting pressure on his son to started calling him by a girl's name, kind of forcing upon, if you will, him this calling him a girl, treating him as if he's a girl, and started kind of the process of what would be a gender modification or transition. He's kind of gone up against the, I think it's the Coppell ISD school district, which is kind of complicit in enabling this. And much to, you know, certainly his dismay, I mean, he's been somewhat powerless through the entire process. And of course, there's been
fighting
a few court
through the courts and such. He spoke with you earlier this week. You wrote about it on Monday. That he has gone to Stephanie Click, met with Stephanie Click, who is the chair of the Public Health Committee.
Correct.
Where this legislation that would ban this type of abuse in minors was sent to by Speaker Dade Phelan. And he said he wasn't very hopeful after that meeting.
Right. You know, it's the meeting, according to him, lasted a little bit less than 10 minutes. The meeting took place between him, Chairman Stephanie Click of the Public Health Committee, and Representative Steve Toth, who's the author of one of the bills that addresses this, House Bill 68. And according to Mr. Younger, she, meaning Chairman Click, seemed more kind of interested in what people might think or what light might be cast upon the House if they took up a bill, more concerned about what the LGBT community might think. And he left, in his words, dismayed that she was not concerned at all about his son, if you will. The bill itself, of course, was referred to her committee back in late February, to the 25th of February.
Yeah,
has not been
a month ago,
has not been
months.
Set for a hearing. So,
well, even though that bill's not moving, it hasn't stopped one lawmaker in particular from trying to make it happen anyways, essentially proposing amendments that would, on the floor of the House, it's a much different process, much easier process than passing a bill, is amending a bill that they're already debating. You've seen in recent weeks, State Representative Brian Slayton, a freshman actually, going in and proposing amendments to stop this. Check out this clip of him laying out that that amendment and why it's so important.
We'll read the amendment.
Amendment by Slayton.
The chair recognizes Mr. Slayton to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this amendment would add to the list of items that would not provide clear evidence to terminate the parent-child relationship. The refusal of the parent to affirm or approve the child's gender modification, including consenting to gender modification therapies, drugs, and surgeries.
Mr. Speaker, will the gentleman yield for a question?
Does the gentleman yield?
Yes.
The gentleman yields for questions.
All right, you've been offering this amendment quite a few times, and I know you lose every time. I want to know why you're doing it. I want you to be heard. Be brief, but tell people why you want this amendment heard.
So I became aware of what's going on in Texas with children a lot of times pre-puberty, going through gender modification surgeries. I became...
Members, please take your conversations outside the rails.
I met a man who is going through a divorce, and his spouse was trying to get the gender changed of his son, 3 years old. He spent 7 years through numerous court battles. CPS was called on him 5 times because he would not put his son in a dress. And he does not want his son to have this permanent procedure.
Look, I'm going to slow you down. I know you pretty well. Son. This is pretty emotional for you, and I know this is important. The reason I'm asking this question you weren't expecting is I want people to see how important this is to you. This is why you keep fighting for it. I want you to be heard. I know this is important to you. I want people to know that you're not just coming up here to do an amendment just to cause chaos. This is personal to you, correct?
He's just a child. He's a child.
So let me ask one last question, and then I'll leave you because I know this is hard. Is this not part of Proposition 6, which was passed with 95% of the Republican voters voting yes on it in 2020?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Moody, for what purpose?
Mr. Speaker, I raise a point of order against further consideration of Mr. Slayton's amendment under Rule 11, Section 2 of the rule of the House of Representatives on the grounds that the amendment is not germane to House Bill 567 because it adds a second subject.
Please bring your point of order down front. Representative Moody raises a point of order against further consideration of the Slayton Amendment under Rule 11, Section 2 of the House rules on the grounds that the amendment is not germane. The subject of the bill is ensuring that children are not unnecessarily removed from their homes in suits affecting the parent-child relationship based on a certain class of activities. The bill amends 3 family code sections that provide the statutory criteria in suits affecting the parent-child relationship for the removal of a child based on the acts of a parent. The Slayton Amendment would amend the bill's provisions in this regard to include acts by a parent that include withholding consent to certain medical treatments for a child. Mr. Slayton acknowledged that the amendment would allow a parent to withhold consent to or approval of certain medical procedures that a child in the exercise of personal judgment may desire. Based on Mr. Slayton's arguments, the chair finds that the subject of the amendment is parental consent to medical treatment. The purpose of an amendment determines its germaneness. Any relationship to judicial proceedings over the parent-child relationship is merely secondary. The amendment is not germane. Accordingly, the point of order is well taken and sustained.
Well, that amendment was ultimately ruled out of order by Speaker Dade Phelan, and perhaps shouldn't be a surprise. When before Dade Phelan became the Speaker of the House, some conservative organizations raised alarms specifically about this issue. And he actually received sort of a notable award or a notable a listing by Equality Texas, a pro-LGBTQAI plus organization that actually opposes this legislation.
That's right. He was one of 3 Republicans that got a favorable rating, a C or above, right, on their rating scheme. And this is an organization whose stated goals include imposing statewide comprehensive non-discrimination protections for SOGI or sexual orientation, gender identity. Those include things on like employment, housing, legal protections for individuals, right, who conduct homosexual statutory rape, right, that sort of thing. So,
yeah. Let's run through some other stuff that might not be moving as well, or that isn't moving as well. Monument protection, RPT priority. Has there been any movement on that?
There has not. So there's several bills that apply to the monument protection priority for the Republican Party of Texas. All of them have been referred to respective committees there in the House, and that includes like even in early March, none have been set for a hearing so far this session. That both House and Senate.
Wow. Constitutional carry. We did see 2 constitutional carry bills last week get passed out of committee. They're now in calendars. Has there been any movement there?
Not yet. They have not been posted on any calendar. It should be noted that the bills that were passed out are authored by the calendar's chairman, right, Representative Dustin Burroughs. And so I don't necessarily anticipate they won't get voted out, but it is important to note, right, that, again, talking about what we said earlier, where we are within the 30-day right window. And so the question is when will they, if they do, get voted out of House?
And in the Senate, by the way, on constitutional carry, no movement
no
at all.
No movement at all. That's right.
No committee hearings. Interesting. Taxpayer-funded lobbying, ending taxpayer-funded lobbying, has been a priority of the Republican Party of Texas for a number of years, stopping local cities and counties and school boards and whoever else from spending taxpayer dollars to go lobby against citizens in the Capitol. We had a hearing on it in the House a few weeks ago. Since then, I think it's just been pending, though.
That's right. Nothing has happened there. It was heard on the 26th of March in the House State Affairs Committee, or 25th, and it went, you know, forever into the morning of the 26th. And it's been left pending there. They have not taken it back up to consider to ultimately vote it out. A similar bill, though not exactly the same, in Senate Bill 10 by Paul Bettencourt, was also heard and ultimately...
Explain that just real quick. Senate Bill 10, this priority legislation... In the Texas Senate that was heard dealing with taxpayer-funded lobbying, is a little narrower in its scope.
That's right. It only affects local governments, to be clear. And it is authored by Senator Paul Bettencourt. It's, of course, a low bill number. It's a priority of the lieutenant governors. It was heard in Paul Bettencourt's committee, local government committee, on the 6th. So this week, and as of right now, has not been voted out of it.
Interesting. Last thing I want to touch on is the bonus priority of the Republican Party in Texas, if you will, which is ending executive overreach. We saw, a lot of people wanting ending executive overreach, essentially reforming the way that the governor can use emergencies in order to issue these unilateral executive orders for months and months and months, something that really came across in the light of the coronavirus in the emergency declaration issued by Governor Greg Abbott more than a year ago. So ending those, or at least reforming how that process is done, has been a priority. Several weeks ago, maybe close to a month ago now, I don't know, I'm losing track a little bit of time, we talked about this House Bill 3, which was supposed to be this legislation that would reform it. In fact, a lot of people said this actually sort of just codifies it and maybe even makes it a little bit stronger, giving him that power. Where's the progress of right now of legislation to end executive overreach in the House and the Senate?
Sure. So House Bill 3's point, the last action as of yesterday when I checked, it was left pending in the House State Affairs Committee on the 11th of March. So nothing has happened that I know of, at least, for that. Regarding the ones that applied to the RPT priority, there were two bills by Senator Birdwell, Senate Bill 1025 and Senate Joint Resolution 45. Those have now, they were passed out of the committee they were heard in, Senate State Affairs, and those are now place on the Senate intent calendar as of yesterday. So the Senate could theoretically bring them up at any time.
Those are the preferred bills we've seen of the Texas GOP Chairman Alan West, and the party has said that those are the bills that they would prefer to see. Essentially, those allow the legislature a mechanism to call itself into session if they want to go in and end a governor's emergency declaration, which has been certainly a priority of the grassroots for quite some time now. You mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, April 9th, today, is the deadline that bills need to have passed out of committee if you want to be really, really sure that lawmakers have a chance to bring them up on the floor of the Texas House. The Senate, the rules are a little more, they're a little more flexible, I guess. We could use that word. But in the House, a little more stringent. So today is really the day that they need to do that. What are the other deadlines as we look towards the end of the session on May 31st? What are the other deadlines that conservative activists, Texans watching their lawmakers and watching the legislature should be keeping in mind?
Sure. So the week of May 11th through 14th is kind of this first big week, if you will. And there's a few deadlines there, but the chief among them is a deadline. May 10th is the last day that House committees can pass out House bills or House joint resolutions at all, right? So to your point about the calendar, yes, the calendar committees can technically kill them now, but you know anything can happen, right? If someone deems it as a priority, they can quickly move it through the calendars committee. But the official date would be May 10th for that. May 13th is the last day for the House to consider House bills or House joint resolutions on second reading on the floor, right? And then of course May 31st is sine die, right? And so like that time frame, there's like a pivot point in the House where when they stop considering House bills, They have pretty much a week to only consider the Senate bills that have come over. And then the last few days are, you know, just it's settling up on the differences between House and Senate bills. And then, you know, the calendar gets increasingly longer. And that gets to another point where there's power in the calendars committee in that they get to set the order, right, via rule, set the order in which bills are set on the calendar. And so what they do historically, right, is they'll put certain bills way down at the bottom, knowing, right, that when you get to it on the House floor and these deadlines start to happen, that you never get to them, right?
And so as we see these deadlines start to pop up and we see committees trying to rush through legislation, you've been doing for the past several weeks now, your This Week in Texas show. Now that stuff's moving at a little bit of a faster pace, there's going to be some changes to that. What can folks be expecting?
Sure. So starting Monday, we'll be kind of pivoting to, as calendars for both the House and Senate start getting lengthier and lengthier, pivoting to not necessarily daily updates, but updates in not a weekly fashion, but as they happen every day, right? Yeah, and so on days that they're meeting and convening, we'll be doing that. And it'll be just kind of quick updates. These things are happening on these days. Be wary of
them. Now, we've got that at texasscorecard.com and our Facebook as well. Jacob, somebody down there in the comments asked, is redistricting happening already? Are there other irregularities around the state with the elections next month? Redistricting specifically, redistricting is one of those obligations the legislature has to redraw the districts every 10 years for you know, the House, the Senate, Congress, you know, all of it. But that process right now is on hold.
Correct. The committees that are like their jurisdiction is redistricting are meeting, right? Yesterday, the House Redistricting Committee met on East Texas region, like a focus on that region of Texas. They are meeting, but everyone knows, and in fact, Senator Huffman, the chairman of the Senate's version of the Redistricting Committee, mentioned on the floor yesterday that the data that they have to use to draw the maps is postponed until September, right? And in a normal decennial, like, times when they do this, the data would be given to them right around now, right? And kind of continue that process. And it's been delayed for ultimately a few reasons, but chief amongst the blame is COVID and the happening during when the census was actually happening, right? And the American survey, American Community Survey around the nation. So that data being delayed, therefore delays the process. And so what's unknown is whether that's going to mean special session or it's going to be that legislative redistricting board, which they can also do. And they get to draw the maps. Ultimately.
Certainly something to watch and certainly something very interesting that could have some implications, actually, if you look at next year in 2022, those primary elections could potentially and maybe even probably be a little delayed from the original scheduled date, just depending on how long all that takes. So, you've got your This Week in Texas show. Like I said, we've got that at texasscorecard.com. We've got it on Facebook where we do it live. We've also got, if you're watching that, you want to know how to get more involved, you can check out our Texas directory at texasscorecard.com where you can find out your lawmakers, see where they rank on a number of legislative ratings from different organizations, as well as how to get in contact with their offices, how to reach them on social media, different tools to be able to go and actually make your voice heard to your lawmakers, as well as our bill tracker where we've been tracking the priorities of the Republican and Democrat parties as they move through the process. All of that right there at texasscorecard.com. At the top, this little bar says tools. If you hover over that, click on that, you should see both of those tools right there. Well, I want to thank everybody for watching this week. A special shout out, Tiffany, of course, watching from Deer Park. Debbie, tuning in from Waco. Sharon in Fort Worth. Deborah, watching from Lufkin. Susan from Benbrook. Steph, also watching from Deer Park. Thank you all so much. You know, the Jacob, you know, it's these next few weeks are going to be really speeding up as stuff starts to go through and those deadlines start reaching. And so now is more important than ever for folks to be really tuned in and really vigilant. We'll try to help you through that. But for right now, thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to The Headline from Texas Scorecard. We're live every Friday at 11 a.m. on the Texas Scorecard Facebook page to talk about the biggest stories of the week, so check us out there or listen to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, whatever platform you prefer. And while you're there, you can also check out the ever-growing line of podcasts and programming provided by Texas Scorecard.